Hi, I'm Carl Azuz. It's my pleasure to welcome you to CNN 10 on this Thursday, September 16th. Our first subject today concerns murder hornets. Yes, we now have everyone's attention. Also known as Asian giant hornets, these insects are native to Japan and China. They're invasive in the United States, and several of their nests have been located in Washington State since last year. In fact, officials there say they've found 3 murder hornet nests this year alone. The first 2 have been destroyed. That's also the plan for the third. One of the reasons for that is the same one why they got their name. Enough stings can kill a person, and dozens of related deaths are reported each year in Japan. There haven't been any murder hornet deaths in the United States, and agriculture officials hope to keep it that way by eliminating any nests they find. These insects are the largest hornets on the planet. They can grow up to 2 inches long. They're bad news for honeybees. Entomologists say it only takes a few hours for a small number of Asian giant hornets to destroy an entire honeybee hive. U.S. officials don't know for sure how these insects got to America. It's possible they stowed away in an international cargo shipment. The Washington State Department of Agriculture is asking residents to report any suspected sightings of murder hornets. Officials plan to stay on the hunt for them for years to come. Microchip shortages, aluminum shortages, bike shortages. The ripple effects of a pandemic that started more than a year and a half ago continue to widen. But even if certain goods weren't in short supply, people who work with them are. Many businesses simply can't find enough employees, especially in retail and manufacturing. It's a labor shortage that's gotten so bad that an official with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce calls it a crisis. Executive Vice President Neil Bradley says one solution could be for businesses to list the skills they're looking for in employees and for community colleges and local workers to then help people develop those skills. But some employers are finding that even when everything matches up, keeping the workers is a challenge.
It's impossible to be in 3 places at once. But Nate Phillips is trying to do just that. Fishing on his family's boat, running his new clam shack, and cutting the day's catch in his fish market.
I've got 2 guys here besides myself. Normally I have 7.
It's the same in all 3 locations.
How many people's jobs do you think you're actually doing right now?
I don't even know if I could put a number on it, but for just the sake of saying, probably 5.
The seafood industry, like so many others, is experiencing a labor shortage. And it's currently high season in Greenport, Long Island, where seafood is in demand.
How would you say business is going?
It's insane.
U.S. seafood prices are up 2.5% since last year, the fastest pace in years. This should be good news for Phillips, but he says customers often leave frustrated and without making a purchase. With little staff, people are forced to wait.
Are you missing out on potential business because
Absolutely. Of it? Absolutely. I feel every day we are. Every day.
The U.S. imports up to 85% of the seafood we eat. But with slowdowns in international trade, there's even more pressure on U.S. operations to make up the loss. In Louisiana, it's the tail end of the brown shrimp season. But a lousy harvest and fewer workers means less business for places like Louisiana Newpack Shrimp Company.
We have to use temporary agencies to get people to come in, and it's hard to get them even today.
Carl Turner runs the plant and says many workers are either collecting unemployment or left the industry for good.
People want to work in different industries, cleaner industries, and it's a challenge to attract people to work in the shrimp processing plant.
In the Gulf Coast's bayous, Faith Family Shrimp Company owns this dock and 5 boats. But the family sold 2 because they couldn't find anyone to run them.
If I would have known what I know now, 5 shrimp boats, a big shrimp dock facility, I would have had 5 sons.
It's a grueling, messy, monotonous business, but one that takes skill.
We'll start people out at a really good pay, a really good hourly pay, and in a week or two they quit, and we're like, what's going on? And it's very hard to replace them.
This is where Philip says he needs to be, but the lack of workers leaves him to choose between working on land or at sea.
How often are you able to get out on the boat these days?
Myself, not that much anymore. This is the most important part to all of it. Without this, we wouldn't have anything else.
10-second trivia. Which of these scientists flourished during the scientific revolution? Isaac Newton, Euclid, Marie Curie, or Louis Pasteur? The scientific revolution took place during the 16th and 17th centuries when Sir Isaac Newton was studying gravity. Whenever we cover space stories and there's talk about private citizens going up, there's usually an astronomical price tag attached. A seat on Blue Origin's first flight was auctioned off for $28 million. Virgin Galactic will sell you a ticket on its Unity spacecraft for $450,000. If the space balloon we reported on this week gets off the ground, a spot there will cost $125,000. But there is a way to experience similar weightlessness to space for less than $10,000. That's if you can stomach the price and the parabolas.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I'm feeling like an astronaut, that's for sure.
Where are we and what are we going to be doing today?
Here we are, Newark Airport, and we're going to be going up in zero gravity on G-Force 1. And you're going to get the same experience as it people on the ISS have.
Zero Gravity Corporation uses a modified Boeing 727 flying in parabolic motion to create multiple spurts of weightlessness. Richard Branson acclimated himself to zero G's on one before he went into space, as did the crew of Inspiration 4, the first all-civilian flight into orbit.
You don't want your first experience in zero gravity to be in space. And it's a very unique feeling, and this gives them the framework to understand it.
I'm a little nervous.
We all know that flying on a rocket ship is dangerous. But how dangerous are these flights?
There's no risk or danger in what we do. We've flown 17,000 passengers over the last 16 years, not one injury and not one issue. So we have all the same regulation, safety, everything as that United flight does.
Unlike Jeff Bezos or Richard Branson's flights, this plane isn't on a rocket aimed at space. An airspace of 10 miles by 100 miles is cleared for a G-Force 1 flight.
There's a lot of talk about these suborbital flights democratizing space, but is this experience the closest thing that, you know,
a normal person
absolutely will ever experience?
Yeah, the price point, I mean, no one would say $7,500 is
cheap, but...
but it's accessible.
It's a lot less than $28 million. What is the value of the weightlessness experience? Like, is this just for thrill seekers, or is there real research value to these flights?
Right now, I would say half of it is research, and then the other half is consumer facing. We've done things that are literally on the cutting edge for space, testing out how to do 3D printing in microgravity. We've done experiments in how to animate freeze-dried blood. To go out and test things in zero gravity or microgravity in space, prohibitively expensive and not realistic.
Oh, my God.
A lot of folks work out their abs, but anyone looking to set a record for planking, whether that's a personal or a world record, knows it's gonna hurt. But Daniel Scali is no stranger to pain. He has a condition that makes him extremely sensitive to it, but also taught him how to manage it. So to raise awareness about the condition and to set a new Guinness World Record, Daniel held an abdominal plank for 9 hours, 30 minutes, and 1 second. In thinking of challenges to compare that to, I drew a plank. It can feel simply abdominable. But if you're the no abscuses type and you don't get bored while working on your washboard, you can plank on planking is an absolutely absome exercise that meets you in the middle. Bridgeport High School in Bridgeport, Texas knows how to get a shout out. Folks there subscribed and left a comment on our most recent show at youtube.com/CNN10. That's the only place our staff looks for your shout out requests. I'm Carl Azuz.